we're still evolving, so we're really interested to know how we can help, because this is a new area for us. Does anybody know who Circle West is, by the way? Not that many hands. Okay,
that
so.
Was
I'll tell you later who you are. Who knows BLGSC?
Who can say it?
And how do you pronounce it?
What does it stand for?
So this session's about who can help you and how we can help you. If you have an interest in residency, if you've never done one, but you think that's a really cool idea, or if you have a creative development and you want to connect with a community, the definition, by the way, is a community is not Nana or a tiny town on the rabbit proof fence. The Irish are a community, and Armadale is a community. And so, in terms of residencies, everybody can be quite fearful of going, well, I don't really want to leave my dog. And that's okay. There are other communities for residencies. If you want to look at funding a residency, and if you want to begin a conversation or start a relationship with a creative partner. So that's what we're here to do, and we're here to learn. Like, we're here to learn what we sort of need to do in the industry. So Ali, Jill, and I will all speak. I don't stop speaking once I start speaking, so it's really good if I ask you some questions and you get to speak to me. So just to give you an idea, so Circuit West, we used to be the Performing Arts Venues Association, and we've sort of grown into be lots of different things. And so our vision is lovely. It's a state connected, enriched, and alive. But our real job is to cause performing arts experiences to happen, and that doesn't mean the things that happen on stages. And we're sort of growing on that. So a few years ago, I think it was in 2013, we got enough money for a pitching forum. I don't know if anybody's old enough to have been in a pitching forum. So it's only 8 years ago. And each year we grow that. Okay, so we grow how we can connect communities with performing arts. We have nothing to do with visual arts. We're really influenced by artists, we're really influenced by presenters and communities. So I'd like to start with a question, because I'm gonna go back to something that Chloe said earlier, is that I want you to maybe, and I'm not gonna go around the room because it annoys people, but to tell me something. So if I'm a community, you've got to tell me why I should have a residency. But there's a rule in this game, is that I'm the CEO of Narrogin Shire. And I run a wheat sheep farm. And I drive a header. And I'm a very hard worker. But somehow I ended up as the mayor of the Shire. So when you tell me about why I should have a residency, remember art speak. Why should I really have it? And I'm only asking you this question because I want you to think about yourself. So who wants to start? My name's Ben, by the way. Ben.
I've noticed that it's easy for the stories of people like yourself and the people in our community to get lost in the wider narrative of what's happening in this country and this state. And I'd love to work with your community to learn how your story be a bigger part of the larger story, so you're not being forgotten about.
Who else?
Arts can be a connecting tool, just like sport. It's a space where people can gather together to create better community and stronger community ties, which can actually, in the long term, pre-resolve a lot of disputes or tensions in the community.
By the way, you've heard
the
sport
for
Yeah.
Ben, I noticed, I saw in the paper that there's been a lot of young people in your town that have died in ways you wouldn't have expected they would have died, and that must be pretty hard for your town. Art can be the way to process that, the way to connect people, and the way to prevent it. I could not make that happen.
Matt, we're going to give the money to the footy club.
Hi Ben. I do lots of original touring myself, but I find that the biggest value that I bring is that I'm an ambassador for a kind of life that people can have, especially young people, that they can go and make a career as an artist, and that there are options that maybe aren't immediately obvious if you live in Narrogin, as beautiful as your city is and as cosmopolitan as it is becoming.
Brilliant. Who else? Chloe.
Hi Ben, I actually live in Narrogin. I'm a member of your community and I'm an artist, and at current there isn't any infrastructure to support me in my career, but I have found 20 other people who are interested, and now I've gone and applied for funding to get something happening in your town. Are you happy to come on board and help me see that through?
Will those 20 people vote for me, Chloe?
How about we do your campaign posters?
Good pitch.
Who else? Nathan. Hey, Ben. My name's Nate. I've been doing some reading on some of the early settlers of this town, and I noticed that your grandfather was a blah blah insert here. And part of what I do is collectively bring those kind of stories together so people can just appreciate like what kind of happened in the past. We try and get some young ones in there to try and have a look at things and just, you know, kind of, you know, appreciate their elders a bit. But, you know, it works both ways, so maybe we could get that happening.
Good pitch. Anybody else?
Hi, Ben. This is my first time in Narragin, and I really love this place, but I've noticed something kind of interesting. I was walking and talking with a couple of people in the shop just now, and when people obviously found out that I'm not a local, a lot of young people were curious and asking me questions about what I do in the metro area, because they said they all want to leave, and I found it really odd. And I guess they were kind of saying that they didn't feel like there was a space for them, they didn't feel like they could see inspiration locally. And I know that there are plenty of awesome leaders and community people, so I thought it might be interesting if we can have an exchange and see what would inspire a generation of your young people to keep this town alive.
Nice, lovely pitch. Come on, Ali.
I pitched to Narragin just recently as a state government employee to a local government employee, and my in was, this was to the community development officer, I've seen that your job seeker data, that's for young people aged 16 to 21, has increased by 78% in the last 12 months due to COVID. So that means the story is there's a lot of people in your town who's potentially in trouble. Can I help you think of some ideas in terms of arts projects, and we've got some funding? And it worked.
Woo! Hi, Ben. I'm new in town, and I would like to know if you could tell me about Narragin. What's happening here? What's going on? What do you do? Yeah, really interesting.
Cool. All great. Like, you know, so... and I just want you to think about that down the track, because I've got some other questions for you. Why do you think I asked? Why do you think I asked?
Well, I think you need to know how to approach people who are coming from a different perspective or maybe a different context, and not assume that they're going to understand an arts context the way that we might inhabit it in a metropolitan area, especially.
Mm. And that was said earlier for you know, the people who all gave examples was, you know, how do you sing your song? You know, like, what you're doing might have a great impact. I always wonder what Annette Carmichael did when she said, I just want to get 10 men from the local footy team to do a dance in front of the hotel. Yeah. So I want to talk through how we can sort of help. And we've been really influenced by the fact that actually, a few years ago, there wasn't a lot in the way of residencies. And now all of a sudden this has become a thing, you know, that's really important in arts, and that's really good. We were influenced by a couple of things. And one is, if anybody saw Doug Borwick come from the USA to speak at Showcase about 18 months ago or 2 years ago, two showcases ago, and he had done this giant study, and what he found was that communities were just disconnected from the arts altogether. And that, you know, he had this fabulous quote, and it was just, you know, but he really was saying, art has become something for metrocentric, university-educated white people. And that's great, and in these communities, when we go out there, we say, oh, we couldn't get anybody onto the show, we had to cancel it, because nobody wanted it in outer, you know, Wisconsin, right? So, you know, and that really affected us, because we've been doing research since 2018 in regional communities, and that's exactly what we heard, is that people have a little connection with performing arts and stuff that Chloe was talking about. People are a little frightened. They're a little frightened to go into a venue. What's going to happen to me if I go into a venue? So they don't have a connection with performing artists. Even performing artists in towns are sort of missing because they want to eat. And so they go to a regional centre. And so there may be not anybody outside, somebody who can play a guitar in the park. You know, and not being funny about that, there is an important part of the art in those communities. And many outside centres don't have an art teacher. They don't have one at all. So, you know, so we've been working with a couple of communities and they've got zero. They built a beautiful arts centre in Narragin, and then they took the funding away for the arts teacher. No arts at all. So you can do pottery when you're 10, and then that's it. we're doing some research around with guys who who drive headers around the state, and we're finding that more and more of them are saying never had any arts experiences at all. How old are you, Uncle? Not anything. So and so that's a real problem. And performing spaces exist in less than 30 of the 138 local governments. No space at all. I mean, there is, you can perform in a park, but no established performing space. So that's why we're taking a bigger role in this, because we tour a lot of work and we find that touring is not enough. So I was, and the reason I asked the question earlier, so Ali and I were talking a couple of months ago, and there was money in this funding. Our policy is take all the government's money, take it all. That's our actual mission statement, take the government's money. And so I connected with a whole bunch of presenters and said, there's all this residency funding out there, and it's ages away. Like, is anybody interested? Do you want our help? Because that's what we do, we help. And the only answers I got back were, are the people doing residencies? So we figured that we've missed a step. Let's take it with, and we sort of need to connect together. So a question to the group is, why is working in residencies, collaborations, working with communities, why is it important to you as artists? Why? I'm fascinated to know why. Or our information.
It just brings different stories to the table, because we all have a different background. Mm. And so I'm also not from Australia originally, so you suddenly connect to something closer to the land that has become your home. Mm. For me personally, but even someone who's born here maybe doesn't have the same relationship with someone who's born in there and if you're in there.
Mm. Why else? Why?
I think possibly because I'm sort of a little bit of a key to a massively, massively untapped community.
Yeah, yeah.
Just being Muslim, first of all, do you guys know how many ethnicities are Muslim? A lot. And if I just speak to my own particular ethnicity, being Bosnian, there is a massive wealth of untold stories, practices, everything. But then to go outside of that and then just consider one more ethnicity, or the bigger, wider spectrum, it's a lot that's not tapped into. I think I might be the only Muslim here, if that's correct. But to consider that there are 1.7 billion of us, and they're not actively engaged in art spaces.
Mm.
So for me, it's important to be in these spaces, to bring that to the forefront, so then I can take it to my community. Because I personally understand the potential that art has.
Mm.
For healing, for understanding, people with bridges, for everything under the sun.
Mm.
So for me, I feel like it's a very, very important tool that is not being used, and I am connected to a multitude of this community, so to me that's why it's important.
Mm. Why else do you want to do residencies? Georgia, you guys have got such good work.
Doing shows for the same audience every year is fine, but at some point, it's nice to have the challenge of bringing new audiences to your work.
Yeah.
And kind of just listening to you, I come from a really blue collar family. I grew up with my cousins, and they never come to shows at the Blue Room. They would never come to a show at the State Theatre. They would never come to the city to see. They feel really uncomfortable. They feel like they don't know how to act in that space. And so the challenge of taking work to them and trying to make a space that's comfortable for them is an interesting challenge for me. I think bringing new people into the performing arts, whoever they are, is a fun challenge. And it's good for an artist as well to have those different eyes on your work.
Yeah, for sure. Who else? Up the back, sorry. I don't know anybody's name.
My name is Sadia. I have been living in Perth for 2 years, but I'm originally from Pakistan. I think residencies are particularly important for people who come from migrant backgrounds, because no matter how much you work back in your home country, when you come to a new place, you're completely unfamiliar to how the system works. You don't know anybody, you don't have a base, so you kind of start it from the scratch. So I think residencies are very important for people like me, because we get to know more about the culture, we get to like, you know, network with people, and about the cultural and artistic practices, which are here in Australia.
Cool. Who else?
I just was thinking about, I've got a project that's about for women, about connecting women connecting with each other. So, and I just want to reach as many women as I possibly can. So, and if I'm talking about connecting with each other, I really have to go into communities in order to find out and reach women who might not be connecting and might be isolated, and we might be able to enhance that.
Anybody else?
The practice that I have admittedly doesn't directly engage with the community. It's not its purpose.
Yeah.
It's always about audience engagement, of course, as a work in the end, but the actual practice is not that.
Hmm.
So I find residencies in some ways have been about silence and quiet and removing myself from the context I know, and all of these things that are quite self-directed. At the same time, I feel like that the work gets informed by landscape and by the place, and that wherever we are, what happens there, we did a residency in Helland in New South Wales, and it was just like the ghost of that place came into the work, and the imagery from that place came into the work, and so that place will always be in that work. And I also have a huge passion for teaching young people and engaging with young people, so I think if I can bring art to a community, like as in opening up a studio or teaching workshops or things like that are really important to me. So I think that is a way of connecting to community, but the work itself is not about that. And I find often we talk about residencies about community engagement, and I feel like there's other angles that artists need to work from while still being able to give an enormous amount back.
Cool. Chloe? Oh, sorry.
You should have had your hand up this
so
long.
No, that's okay. I think, thank you. No, it's just, I think, giving opportunities, not just to communities that might not normally have. You said that, like, bringing like options for careers that like might not be apparent because no one's considered them until you're there, because nobody's there. So it's just like opportunities as well as the art itself.
That's great.
I'm
just gonna say I want to reverse the pipeline, because at the moment as a regional artist, we are passive participants in the art. We have art come to us. I want us to start making art so we come back to the city, because the story out never needs to come back.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah.
All the
regional
ones,
sorry. One more.
I guess something that's been cool is a sense of those communities then having a sense of, because I'm similar, I don't do community arts work, but the works that I've created in residency contexts, those communities have then been able to have a sense of ownership over to an extent, even though it's some weird high concept fringe festival bullshit.
it's also a way of doing like really engross yourself in the project, like removing yourself from your that like earth, like going traveling somewhere else. You can just forget about the shit that's happening in your life, and it's like, great, I'm in this new place for 3 weeks. I can truly think about this project, and I can divert all my energy, my time into it, and make it something greater than it could have been somewhere else. Whilst going to a new place, meeting new people and getting into conversations, and that whole side of travelling, which is such an amazing part of the lucky thing that we get to do, is to travel and work and meet new people and go to new places, which will then help to reinform that that experience that you have over at CC, which is why I think that is invaluable to practice.
Okay, one last.
Beautiful. So I'm going to push back, I'm going to pull forward, because I think there's different types of restrictions, barriers, or silos within this industry that I'm still navigating and learning about. So first off, I can't recall, there was something along the lines of like, I think it was a quote of white, educated, metropolitan types who go and see performing arts and that's great. Actually, it's not great, especially when people are struggling to like get funding, or the government is like, you're not essential. So I feel it's, anybody who's like, oh, it's great, we still have voted, no, it's not. And like, it isn't. I would challenge anyone on this view, but in terms of other silos, like I was talking to my dad today, like what I'm doing today as an artist, today I'm working as an artist, right? My dad's like, so what are you doing exactly? It's like, oh, I'm going to talk to a industry organization about project work. So this idea of like, you know, you have full-time artists who are maybe engaged to an organization, maybe they're a producer who's like working at Performing Lines or something. Getting people who, even if they don't or do know the arts, like my dad, who's in his 60s and likes Shakespeare and has been to stuff, he's never gonna see something at State Theatre because he's just not engaged in that way. And that's a really big missed opportunity. I think anybody who doesn't see that is kind of missing the point. I'll end by saying I think residencies are so important because they allow you to activate things in a short time period in an intense way. But personally, I remember thinking, where are the other cool brown artists? I met like this cool white girl, this cool white chick, this cool white guy. I met all y'all. Y'all look great. But I've had this conversation like, where are the like brown, yellow, red, like or green? Like, where are the aliens, right? It's only because of certain organizations like Performing Lines that I got to answer, like scratch that thing. But anybody who's feeling like comfortable, like, oh, you know, I think we need to turn up the heat a bit more. I mean, there's a lot more, I feel.
Well, I think part of our job is also to demystify art. And, you know, the great thing about residencies is that you get the opportunity to do that. There is, you know, there's this higher echelon of art, like, you know, in the galleries. And, you know, the majority of people will never access that. So part of our work, I guess, is to, in a way, allow or give people the opportunity to experience what, you know, art is on their kind of particular sort of, you know, level and experience. And you know, you kind of often find, particularly, I mean, I work a lot in the kind of intergenerational space, and you know, you'll find working with sort of 70, 80 year olds who will say, oh, I can't draw, you know, I haven't drawn since I was a kid. And you know, you'll speak to them and start them off on, you know, a little activity, you come back in 5 minutes and they've drawn something amazing, you know. But it's just because art is so mystifying to them and so, you know, kind of far away from their lived experience.
Absolutely.
And I think part of our work is
to... But it shouldn't be removed from their
exactly.
Right?
You know, I mean, in a way, arts are right in everyone's lives.
Yeah.
But it's because a lot of, you know, people's focus is on the art that is, like, you know, up here, rather than the art that is actually created within our lives day to day.
Yeah. And I will push back to anyone who would like to be challenged. Yeah, this idea of arts are for some, arts are for all. Arts are nice to have, arts are essential. And when you go for the essential, arts are part of our culture, arts are part of our day-to-day life. It's just like people who, like, talk to me, like, oh, I don't know how to cook. I'm like, how are you not starved? I don't really know how to like be an adult. It's like, how are you still alive? So anybody who said, I don't really get it. I can survive without it. That, I think anyone should, in their own way, interrogate, politely push back, challenge, and change.
Yeah. Imagine if we had like plumbing and roads in like the 130s, like regional communities.
Yeah.
Be like, well, you know.
Absolutely. So I think it's about, even for ourselves, changing that mindset of like, oh, you know, they won't get it. It's like, okay, why are they not getting it? Maybe there's something I don't get, and I need to go and figure out what that is, not the other way around.
Yeah. There's a big lot of listening.
Yeah.
It's waiting to happen.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Just moving forward, I just want you to think about, you know, the answers that everybody had. That was really good discussion. Only because we're going to talk to you about opportunities now, and I just want you to think about the fact that you have to talk to Ben Hooper off the header sometimes. To talk to someone to sell your idea. And that's not that straightforward. Plus, you've got to have it right in your own mind. Why would I go to this community? Why? Because I like it there, because it's sunny, because why? Because people will ask you this why. And we'll talk to you about the opportunities that are out there for you. But you know, but having your why for the people who've been successful at this, because they probably had their why, you know, pretty right when they spoke to Ben when he got off the header. You know, and it's a shame. We're not always speaking to Ben. I often speak to Abby. So she's nicer than Ben who got off the header. But Ben who got off the header is a real person, and they are. And it's only fair that Ben should have a good reason for something to come to his community.
Can I just say something about Ben?
Yeah.
Because he probably spends most of his days watching movies, television, and
listening to music. Absolutely. For sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, can I hand over to the department now to talk about how fabulous they are?
Thanks, Ben. Thanks, everyone. I'll just preface with everything that I'm about to say is I just want to acknowledge how special this lab is, and on a personal note, how amazing you guys are as artists, how you all enriched my life and my family's life living in WA. But also in a professional note, how amazing it is to work with you, how you challenge us as a department every day. And we're pretty much, speaking on behalf of Jill as well, I feel like we're in a pretty privileged role because we get to talk with artists and arts organisations and mayors and all these people around the state every single day. So listening to you talk this before really made me feel quite proud that I think that we've developed this funding program for creative communities really well. It's really hard to write a funding program during a pandemic with a minister and Lottery West and all this other stuff in, and data and policy, but I think we've got it right. So I might just talk about it, hopefully addressing some of the clinical points that you raised. So yeah, if you don't know about it, there's a funding program called Creative Communities COVID-19 Recovery Program. It's not catchy, we'll just call it Creative Communities for now. And I know a lot of you have already applied or you have ideas in the mix. It's a big program, it's $5 million. We're probably about three quarters to halfway through spending the money, meaning there's opportunity for you over the next 6 months to really, you know, put in an application to us. But also don't stress if you can't make it in this timeline. The department has funding programs that support residencies, community-focused residencies, or just personal residencies, or a whole wide range of your practice. So you can come to us at any time to do community-engaged stuff. But it's also really amazing that so many people in the sector are starting to move more to socially engaged, participatory, CACD, whatever way you want to say it, kind of way of working. So it is basically artists in residence. In partnership with a community, the community can be a school, it can be a community group, it can be a local government authority, it can be any way you kind of define who the community is, as long as there's participation involved. And participation can be as subtle as you like, or it can be them writing their painting the murals. It's however you want to define it, so feel confident in that. It is all around connection. It is acknowledging that 2020 sucked, 2021 kind of sucks. And a lot of you did feel like you're not essential, but from the department's point of view, you are critical. And I think it's amazing that state government, the Premier, Lottery West, acknowledged that the artists can play a role in the recovery of this state and helping people connect and just be together. And that's really all that we want in applications like this. It's like, this is the artist, this is the community, this is how we're going to connect together. It's being delivered in two different ways, through a small grant, through $30,000. You can apply at any time and we turn them around quite quickly. So they're nice and responsive. They're around, kind of, we're looking at about 4 weeks minimum for that category, but the 4 weeks can be spread out over a year if you want. It could be a day a week, it could be however format you want it to be.
And it can be more than 4 weeks, depending on what your resources are.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're nice little kind of tester grants, I think.
Does that have to be in the same community, or would you do like two or three?
Yeah. It's interesting, when we first designed it, we thought it would be, yeah, one artist wanting to work with one community for around that amount of time, but gosh, you guys. So as I said, feel confident in testing those ideas with us, because once again, it's just going back to artists, community members, in connection. So that's up to 30,000. It doesn't have to be 30. Some people are just using 10, some are 20, some are 25. But look, if you're going to write a grant, and we all know how annoying they are, maybe go for the larger amount. Then you've also got another category called collaboration. That's where you can apply for 80,000. And that's Chloe is the poster child for that category. They're delivered in rounds. So a round just closed last week, and thank you. I know a few of you guys put in applications. They're peer assessed. and the Minister of Precinct. So that's why it takes a little bit longer. But we definitely feel confident there'll be more of those rounds available. We've got to, yeah, we think so. Especially if there's demand for the larger scale. The very nature of that work collaboration is normally, multiple communities, multiple artists. Bigger, we are finding some people do a small 30K, magic happens, then they come and do an 80K, or some people have already delivered 80K collaboration lines, magic's happened and they want to keep going with the 30K. So they've been designed that way, so you can dip in and out, just acknowledging, you know, how community engagement works. So I'll just type writing down. It's fine if you don't know the outcome for this type of program. I know with our other funding programs, we're always like, well, what's the creative output and how many people are involved in all of this? This is community engaged practice. We acknowledge that you don't know what it's going to be. You need to spend time with your community participants. So once again, feel relaxed with that. Just focus on telling us within the application kind of what your process is going to be. And most importantly, that the community, you've consulted with them and they're on board with you. But I'll give you some examples of what's been funded so far, and they will all be up on our website really, really soon.
I might just say, in terms of that time that you need to develop those relationships, there's lots of really, for everyone that was here before, lots of great tips in terms of that initial engagement with you. If you've been to the community before, I was just going to say, if you've already done work in communities, this is something you can initiate with this grant. So you could, I've been working in that community before, you might go to them and say, it's funding available, I'm interested in working with you again. So you can initiate this as independent artists or arts organisations. And, you know, you can look for the local artists in the community that are there. You can connect with them as well. And there can be more than one artist. There can be several artists.
And not just artists. These budgets are pretty big. They're generous, especially because we want you to have your producers, your mentors, paying those community champions. That we're seeing that in all of these applications, so feel free. This type of work is a bit, is hard on you as an artist as well, so make sure you build in as much support as you need in the project, that is. The types of things we're seeing coming through is definitely the whole spectrum of community engagement. Yes, we've got the murals at one end. And we are seeing those beautiful, you know, sophisticated community arts and cultural development performance outcomes. We would love more of this end than that end, but we acknowledge that, particularly your comment around demystifying every art, it's really important, or knowing where a community is at. Sometimes they just need murals or just the basic things. So once again, just don't worry about, I guess, the quality of the art itself. It's more about we're interested in the quality of the engagement at this point. All the applications that are coming through, we ask a question, I guess question 4 or 5, about why does this community need this? What has been the COVID impact? And it's pretty much the same answer, regardless of where they are in the state. We need to connect. We've been rocked. We don't know who we are. We want to know who we are. We need a little bit of fun. We need to have some difficult conversations. So that's really interesting. We've also got data helping drive us a little bit, because this is a targeted program. We are particularly interested in making sure communities that are in need, that haven't had access to the arts before, diverse communities, are able to take part in this program. So many favourites. We've had a lot of schools coming through. We acknowledge it's really hard to work with local governments and schools. We're doing it on a daily basis as well, because they, some of their people haven't had that transformative experience that you guys all have. So it really does come down to the really special art teacher, or the really special arts officer, or mayor, or a David Marshall at Harvey. and so this program is helping schools and local government authorities kind of get on board a little bit as well. We do have a kind of advocacy part to this project as well, which is around gathering the stories through video and lots of different ways, and making sure that you will all have access to some collateral at the end of the program that then you could then send to then the mayor and say, look, the arts is really important, look at this. And anyone that gets a grant, you're paid additionally to do a little survey that's been developed by Tina in our research department, working with Lottery West and all the good people around the world that's really tracking the intrinsic side of the arts. So all the participants will do a survey letting them know, it's made me feel good, or I feel like I belong, or this or that. And then that data will be used as part of a kind of bigger advocacy campaign that's so badly needed within government. You know, we're wooing Department of Education, we're wooing local government, we're wooing health, but we need examples about the benefit of the arts as well.
Can I just ask where the data is available for proposals? So you're saying like you've been looking at the data-driven side of where funding should be allocated.
Yes.
How can artists access that data?
Well, really good question. I mean, I could probably share it with you if you wanted to email me, but we use data coming from Department of Premier and Cabinet, Lottery West, Department of Communities. So, so it's all basically coming from, the impact teams across all government agencies. So this program is focused on young people. So we are using a lot of things like Job Seeker, Job Keeper, Mortgage Stress, and a whole range of other things. Derek, who's in our research team, sends us maps pretty much every day of saying, you know, this is based on COVID impact of what's happened in the last year. You know, we know the Wheatbelt really suffered. We know the northern corridors and the Bunbury, the southern corridors of the metro area. There's a lot of kind of stress and impact that are the metro areas.
But it doesn't mean that you can't do something outside of that. That won't be supported outside of that area. It's just in terms of trying to target communities that may not. You know, access, things like that. So it's about more about the target.
If you wanted your task or your focus to be driven by that data, we could just email you and get to see those maps.
We'd be able to give you a really good idea. But once again, it's coming down to data is only one part of where we know need is. There's the other side of, you know, this data is COVID-based, but a lot of it is around pre-existing socioeconomic issues as well. As I said, the question that we're asking in the application of why do you need this? Everyone's got a story to tell, even if you're in Subiaco or Mosman Park. So it would be around really going to where you think this needs.
So this Creative Communities Grant is directly responsive to COVID. It's a new initiative. Was money taken away from something else to fund it?
No, it's brand new.
Where did the money come from?
From Lottery West. Sorry, I should have said that, Lottery West.
Because everyone was so depressed in COVID, they gambled more and we have more money.
So let's turn that into something good.
That's amazing.
It's $5 million, which is a massive opportunity. But as I said, you know, we've actually been able to attract more money to our other grants programs as well. So success rates are higher. So don't feel you need to come to this one. You can come to our other programs as well. I'll give you some examples. We all know about Chloe Meriden. Southern Edge Arts in Denmark, they're working with a few service providers with homeless youth there, doing a kind of range of multidisciplinary projects. Dulawari Group in Roebourne, they're working with a lot of performance artists.
He's in the studio, I think.
Yeah. There's about six performing artists going up and spending time in Roebourne, working with the local corporation there and the Roebourne District High School. This is a really simple one, but the Brunswick Tennis Club, theirs is actually the first application to come through, and it was just to support the local art teacher doing murals at the tennis club. And it was so simple, but the impact is massive, because they just said, look, we don't have any facilities in Brunswick. It is the tennis club. And there's like 60 junior members that were using that during the school holidays. And there's not enough courts. this is a nice sporting one. And so they're all playing tennis, and then the kids are painting and they're swapping over. So good on them. Perth Ethiopian Women's Group, I just actually got to experience the outcomes of that project on Saturday night. They came to us and they all said, look, we've got some really tired mamas in this community. Normally we travel back to Ethiopia or to other places. We've got a lot of children and we're stuck here. the kids want to learn circus, and there was actually an artist called Hassan, who is from that community as well, who's incredible. And so he's been spending time teaching like 50 kids how to do circus, and we got to see it on Saturday night. For the kids, they felt so proud just learning all of these skills. They all want to be like Hassan when they grow up. But most importantly, I realised on Saturday night watching the celebration, just gave those families a chance to have a break and come together. That's really what it was all about. Another sporting one, so Ridge Pro. They're a basketball organisation, but they're working with Centre for Stories and Sasonke. I don't know if that is Sasonke's last name. So that she's spending time at the Hebrae and Rec Centre, helping capture storytelling between African elders and African youth at basketball sessions. So that's, I've sent that one to our Sport and Rec colleagues within DLGSC. Lots of schools coming through, some CRCs coming through. Shelter WA, community resource centres. Shelter WA, so we are starting to talk with a lot of the service, community service organisations. So Shelter WA does a lot of work with people with lived experience of homelessness. They've now got an artist who's going to be spending time with people in St. Pat's in Fremantle, and then working on an exhibition at Dada. It's really exciting to be engaging the community service sector because they have a lot of funding to provide services to community in need. They never seem to ever use the arts very well, and so now we're hoping to kind of show them the way a little bit. There's so many. A really fun one, Theatre Kimberley, they're doing a roller skating choir and human beatboxing, so it can be fun as well. It doesn't just have to be. Geraldton Toy Library, they're doing a mural. Lots of wonderful ideas, and so we've funded about 40, but we can probably fund around 120 residencies across the state. So get your thinking hats on. I just wanted to mention, you've all said that partnerships take a long time to develop, and we know that. We respect that. Like, we'll talk to artists over the years, and Siobhan came up to me earlier, and she's like, I've got this idea. It might take years, but I know that you are going to deliver that project in about whenever it is, in 3 or 4 years. It's the same with these types of projects. Some of the projects that have been funded are actually from little seeds of magic 2 or 3 years ago. So I get it. I know it's a challenge, but also be a bit patient and do it right. Take it slowly because it can be supported.
And obviously, call Kelly and I.
Yeah.
But I've not worked in state government or any government before now, and I've always been in the not-for-profit arts sector. Everyone's very friendly and approachable, and you should definitely get on the phone and just discuss your idea, because as long as you read the guidelines, familiarise yourself with it, chat to us today, but call and talk to us about it.
Yeah. A lot of people, I know it's really scary calling something called Department of whatever we are. Particularly when we're a department that don't communicate. We're trying to change that, but it's hard at the moment. So get on the phone and call. It doesn't have to be about a funding program. We do deliver a lot of other things as well. So the more we know about you, the more we can advocate to the people up the line and help get these types of programs delivered. So yeah, we love workshopping ideas. Siobhan just came to me on the break with like 100 million ideas, and we're going to help her just think a little bit strategically on going back to that question of the why. We ask that question all the time, why? And I know you don't like it when we ask it, but it's actually really important because it's helping you think in a professional aspect, where are you going? So, yeah.
Ali, I didn't prep your question, but I think I'm actually remembering that we've talked over the phone, and yes, give Callie O'Call, she's amazing. Does this, it's like the practical questions, does this account for, you know, we're only allowed to fly three times
yeah.
and the 60,000 cap, is this in this, those
this
rules?
Is a bonus.
Okay.
yeah, and that 60k cap.
Oh.
it's not in any program guidelines anymore. It just
really
is
the three still there?
You can have three applications a year and be successful, but there's no cap anymore.
I can say
that only happened a few months ago. Everyone, I'm going to go back and tell our manager. Just
wait, now
so
I'm rebudgeting everything.
Yeah. So, was that in reference to the other pre-COVID? Because like the other ones, I know they had like you apply a certain number of times.
Yes.
But for the resilience COVID creative communities.
Yes.
No cap.
Yeah. So I know there's heaps of funding programs at the department. You look at our website and you're like,
there is a cap in the sense that you can only apply for collaboration.
Once.
To be successful once
yes.
a year.
Yes.
Okay.
And you can only apply for residency.
Two.
Within a financial.
But
I don't
your other three.
Yeah, not
yeah.
for the
yeah.
other three. It's different. Is it
online?
Addition to?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's other programs that you should know about if you don't already. It's RTU15, where you can apply at any time to get $15,000. There used to be a low success rate on that, but it's a lot higher now. And it's a beautiful little program to just kind of seed your ideas and keep you going. Or there's 15K plus where you can apply for up to 60,000 three times a year. So they're the bigger projects where you just think further ahead. They're the rolling ones. They're around all the time and they're perfect for independent artists. Then there's stuff like this that kind of come and go, like our regional programs or this one. This one will end, but we do think it will create further opportunities.
When do you know when it will end?
When we've spent
the
money
runs out.
When
you've
given a
beautiful
application.
But you just had a deadline like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
So
we haven't
I thought that was
ahead.
It. So we can still send you stuff.
Yeah.
Even though the deadline was just passed. Because I was like, I've got one under there.
So
for 30K
so the residency
you
is still
yeah.
going, ongoing.
Right.
The collaboration, there's no new route.
No new, no, yet. But we do think, as I said, we're only halfway through spending the funds. It's a $5 million project, so we can probably see it's starting to roll. We're seeing a lot more really good applications coming through.
Yeah.
We've kind of set gut instinct, maybe
yeah.
another 6 months, and we would have spent the money.
Yeah.
But
I'm just speaking to.
I just realised, they're ringing them, they're really nice.
Actually, closing date, said, do you know it's at 4 p.m. because we've got to get it in? And he said, yeah, we're working on it.
I just
we'll try and encourage you to get
three or four phone calls, and some of them were like, can I do this? And but then, yeah, you rang at like 3:45. Just
was it
like,
about 3?
How
you
know? And you're all there. And
like I called another organisation.
We all called everyone.
I called them and like an hour to go. I'm like, how are you going? And she's like, I can't talk right now.
Which is a regional arts theme of the LGSC. There is a new program that's coming through, which is, I can't remember the name, but it's basically about cultural creative plans in local governments, in regional communities. And the idea is that they work with local organisations and arts organisations, they have to develop creative plans, and then they have fund activities out of that. So I think that will help in terms of getting local shires having creative plans.
We do a lot of kind of inter-agency work. It's just not all about funding programs. We're behind the scenes advocating constantly to our dear local government colleagues about you need.
No shade to them. They work really hard.
Yeah.
I want to say I know they probably sound really negative towards local government. Like the only reason why they're not getting stuff is because they're drowning in stuff at the moment.
Yeah. Like that Brunswick one I said before, that actually came about me talking to our sport and rec colleagues, and there's DLGSC regional officers, and it was the sport and rec crew that started to promote the program. So there's a lot of kind of networks out there, but it is finding these magical people that get it.
I just have a little bit of a question, this is possibly to funding in the future, just as a person out in regional WA trying to do stuff. Some of the stuff that we need is operational funding to be able to make the things happen.
Yeah.
like it's really, because like I was saying before, we're like almost missing a human in the community, and operational funding seems to be really hard to come by. It appears and disappears quite frequently. Yeah. Is there scope for operational funding under the recovery grants? Can we start to look in that direction?
Yeah, we can totally take that back, and yeah, it's a comment that everyone talks about. You can apply for, you can include operational funding within a project context. So a project could be 12 months, meaning a large proportion is to pay someone to keep something going. That's how you can do it without project funding. There is obviously the AOI, Arts Organisation Investment Programme, which provides operational support, but that's my
regional arts, so we don't have their regional
funding. I was going to say with regional arts and DCA, those connections are totally separate. Does one feed into the other, because some of their grants are quite generous as well.
Yes.
Sorry,
are you asking if we work with
Do you kind of cross-reference with them at all?
Yeah, very much so. Yeah, they're hosting us tomorrow, actually, on a talk. They are, AOIC funding is three-year funding, and they're one of those organisations, so we have quite a strong partnership with them. And the resilience money that they gave out during COVID, I think it was nearly $1 million, was actually state government money given to them. So we talk a lot. Yeah.
Any more funding questions?
I thought it would be interesting. Facilitating a ton, but I was just having an interesting conversation with Julie, who works for a local government, so you're still. Could we just find out about her thoughts around, because in that last discussion there was like a lot of talk about local governments and how hard it is to kind of challenge it can be. It'd be good to hear your thoughts around that.
We need Julies all across the state.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to talk to you about. First of all, I just want to say I'm a bit of an intruder really here today, but I came.
No, you're not.
I'm really appreciative of how authentically and generously everybody shares in the room, and for me to hear this stuff is actually great, because I get to take that back and I get to advocate for it in my space, and it might be at the City of Stirling, but it might also be with my fabulous colleagues at the City of Melbourne, or it might be at regional council as well. I actually grew up in Walden Hills, so I'm very aware of the evidence. But yeah, what it sort of came through quite strongly, and I did write some notes in the break, was this interesting relationship with local government, and working in local government and having done so for like 25 years, there is always someone in your local government or the local government that you want to work with that has a role that will actually be relevant to what you're wanting to do. And the best thing you can do is pick up the phone and talk to someone, or find that someone. They might not be an arts officer, they might be, I know for Alex, like she's worked with our sustainability community engagement team. So they might have a different title, they might be an economic development officer, and there is definitely a shift to this whole placemaking activation, which kind of has its roots in economic development, but it's also community development. So yeah, sometimes it's about looking in those different spaces. And how you can find that stuff out is obviously look at our websites, follow the social media, sign up for e-muses, just talk. The other thing is that we often have a problem, but we don't know how to solve it, and we need all of this creative input. We don't have the ideas. We need you to come up with the ideas. So, yeah, there's definitely a two-way relationship that needs to happen here. And local governments all have strategic objectives. They have community plans, and they have to have community plans, and there obviously will be a shift into having to have cultural plans, because there's a lot of budget across the state that is within local government being spent in this area. And currently, probably maybe a bit haphazardly, it's probably not a lot of strategic objectives as a whole. But yes, sort of look for the language, look for what are those things, like thriving communities, resilient communities. That is a big thing. Like often local governments only have four objectives. They're about environment, sustainable business, but community is a very big one. So yes, learn that language. The other thing is that we're inflexible in terms of budgets. So we have a planning procedure, so we're working on our budgets in December and sort of finalising them probably in March for the next financial year. If we don't get something in at that point, then you can't. There's no point talking to us until the two financial years. So don't sort of come with a great idea in now before the end of June. It's not going to be. And we're inflexible in that if it isn't in our budget, we can't actually chop and change things. Like, we're actually obviously governed by the Local Government Act and how they budget things and how we procure things. And so you do need to, just be mindful of that. So get talking, if not 12 months before, 6 months before. Often there are funding, like little tiny funding grants and things available with local governments, depending on the size. Like the city is doing is large. I think we've just put probably $1 million back into not only the creative sector, but community groups and all sorts of stuff. Now that, I was saying earlier, that came about really, COVID was a gift for us. I know people have lost their lives and it's a pandemic and it's awful and livelihoods, but what it did was give us an opportunity to respond to our communities in a different way. Things that would have taken us 5 years to get support for, we were able to actually get that support from our council. Now, that's not the case with all councils. I know that some councils' funds dried up, resources got cut off. But obviously, we were able to advocate in that space, and it was all around connecting communities. So, those words just keep coming up all the time. And we've funded some absolutely amazing programs that we never saw coming. A lot of them also weren't outcome-driven. They were actually about developing practice and maybe trialing an idea, like you've got an idea that you want to do something later. We were pretty generous in that it was like you didn't have to come from the city of Stirling, it didn't even have to happen in the city of Stirling, but we...
Wow!
I was a recipient of one of those grants and the ability to, I live in City of Stirling as well, and I never would have thought to just work within my own council.
Yeah.
Why, it's odd that that's such an unusual thing to be like, oh, I could actually just work near my house. You have to drive too far. I wasn't driving down to Frio every day to try and do something. City of Stirling were great. And I not having to have an outcome was amazing. I got to just explore.
And then...
So how do we clone you?
There's a network. Most of the large councils do have people like me. And in fact, the City of Stirling is probably one of the largest councils, but we probably don't have the most resources in our equivalent kind of cultural area as, say, Joondalup.
Melbourne.
Well, I guess a lot of the others that have even more. So, but it is.
Go to the councils with lots of suburbs.
Yes,
lots of ratepayers.
Don't go to Fremantle. The other thing was really community engagement. Everything that councils are doing at the moment is around being community led. But we don't want to be actually saying this is what we want you to do. We actually want you to be telling us what you want how we can support that to happen. So we're less about the doing and more about the facilitating. So, and obviously we knew about this funding ourselves, but we actually ran some resident and a very visual art. Like obviously our focus is predominantly visual art, but we actually have a very big events program as well, which of course is coming back to supporting the performing arts as well. So I think that's probably. And the other thing is, if all else fails in the small councils, the regional councils, if there isn't someone that you feel that you can talk to around the staff, then do start those conversations with your elected members, and you can do that certainly with the city as well. And they're fierce, often the city, they're fiercely wanting to represent their people. Might be a slight difference in the smaller towns, but
I don't know much about it, but it seems to be like a bit of a network as the WALG thing. Mm. So that's all the local governments that across WA kind of coming together.
The WALGA?
Yes,
yeah.
That thing.
Yes, that's what it is, but they actually do a particularly great job in the arts and culture and creative area. There are some more sort of informal, like there's a community development kind network and a conference that happens, and yeah, there's like Facebook groups and all that kind of thing. So, and there certainly are, yeah.
It's kind of like that agency individual one where all the leaders
yeah,
wear the hats and
yeah.
just
do
it.
Can I just add too, so we are, so there's a few things happening in local government. First, every local government's really different, right? So, and everybody's seen that. So we are presenting at the Local Government Professionals Conference in the Community Development to tell people why performing arts is really important. So Ryan's presenting, everybody knows Ryan's a very charming man. It's gonna be a very charming presentation. We're very, very, very charmed. We've also been working, distributing a video and a book called Performing Spaces. Because 80% of performing spaces are owned and managed by local government, and I might share the link with you. So we're just doing the dance of romancing people with the idea that actually performing arts is really just as important as putting a hole in their towns. And we really are. I mean, so I might show it to you, show what's really happening. And also, Circuit West now has a advisory group, which are all local government leaders. So I think there's 8 of them in it, and there's like a community development director from Port Hedland and the CEO from Mug River, and all of these. Some of them are from towns where they actually have a really low level. So we are chipping away at the edges of this, and as other departments. So, and we know there are good shires. Sometimes it's just a long way in when a shire has 300 people to say, I'd like somebody with arts in their title. Is there, have you got anybody with arts in the title? But in local government, with community development. So, you know, so, yeah, so I just want to finish by saying it's not hopeless.
Ways for artists to connect in with rather than feel like they're just knocking, so how do we tap in?
Perfect segue for me, Alex, thank you.
Right.
So I'm also mindful of keeping this on time, because I think you have to be somewhere else after this too. So I'll talk about us, because we also connect artists with local government because of presenters. So Circuits West role has, well, you know, used to be, you know, a venue managers network from Broome through to Kalgoorlie through to Esperance and everything in between. And now it's much bigger than that. Now, you know, many of the people in the room we're connecting with. So we've got a couple of different ways that we are useful to you if you're interested in residencies. And the first one is WA Showcase. So WA Showcase is the pitching forum in Western Australia. And I know you've pitched Alex, I know you've pitched Georgia. Does everybody know about WA Showcase? Because I could bang on for hours. Okay, so WA, so does everybody know what a pitching forum is? Okay, so a pitching forum is where performing artists get to go on stage. We invite all the venue managers from around Western Australia. They all come with their teams and people from towns where they don't necessarily have a performing space, but they have an interest. And people talk about their work. And as a result of that, communities choose whether they will take a tour for that work. So, and that's pretty, you know, that's pretty much it, in a straightforward way. We also give some acts a chance to do their full performance, if it's a performance. Not everything has to be a performance. We have a very special category, which is really good if you're doing residencies, and it's called Get Together. Get Together pitching is sitting together with a group of venue managers for half an hour and telling them the stuff that I asked you earlier. Why do you want to come to my town? What's in it for my town? And all of those questions is a long conversation. You don't have to do any performance, nobody expects to see any pictures, but you can talk through your concept of, you know, your seed of an idea. Even long before you're gonna look at a residency, you can talk about it then, and people can say, oh, you know, we'd like this, this, and this, and it may help you down the track to get another 15 grand, do some more creative development, potentially, you know, and work towards getting it to a point where it's sort of ready to tour. So, we're about to launch pitching at the moment. So we are Circuit West on Facebook, and if you don't like us, you need to like us, because we will tell you when you can pitch. Now, I'm just gonna keep talking. Please interrupt me anytime. I'm just mindful of time.
If where you hold the pitching?
Yeah, and this next one will be at UWA, because they've got bookings in here.
Do you know any in the region?
We don't do in the regions. We don't have enough work to do it. We've tried to organise a Southwest and a Geraldton, we haven't had enough artists to actually have a pitching forum. And the problem is trying to pay for 30 venue managers to get to a Geraldton or a Bunbury. So we've just done our first regional. We did Tech West, which is another one of our conferences in Bunbury. So this really impacted the numbers.
Tech West is looking at venues?
Tech West is the tech conference. So we also look after the technical side of the industry. So that's their conference. So we ran that regionally for the first time.
Right.
So WA Showcase is the opportunity you should be looking towards. Even if you've got a working head, it's not necessarily a residency, you know, it's ready to tour tomorrow, or it's something that you're planning on working on that might be ready to tour in 2 years.
Can I ask the annoying question, which is how much is it for artists this year? It's quite expensive and investment.
Oh, don't
you don't know.
We're just about to release it.
If you get a showcase, there's
no cost to pitch.
Yeah, there's no cost to pitch, but to attend it's quite expensive if you don't get to pitch.
Yeah.
Which I think is a barrier, particularly if you're coming from regional or anywhere else to get to the venue, which I think is.
Mm. I think we're inviting all pitching artists to stay for the session this time at no cost, because we're trying to connect the pitch to some conversations better in lots of ways.
The relationship building is
The stuff that happens after you come off the stage, if you've done a pitch that way, we're trying to continue on that conversation at no cost, Alex, is the answer. Mm. Not for the whole conference, but I think for a day. Mm.
And I would just like to say to the regional artists who are in the room, if you do connect with Circuit West and get on their email list, they always post about opportunities to apply for short, quick response funding to get yourself down. Mm. Which is really fantastic. Mm. So yes, it does. Sometimes it looks like it's going to be a huge investment, but there is always somebody who's offering quick response grant around that time to throw it for.
Yeah, yeah.
And is it a curated pitching session?
Or it is.
Does everybody get in?
No, otherwise it would be 3 weeks long, and it's 4 days. So it usually comes down to 36 pitches. So we usually get about 1 in 3, I think. But it doesn't end there, so let me tell you some more stuff, because there is some of those pitches are just not ready to go yet. You know, that really is it. So a few other things. So the one of the things is that we talk to people who are ready to pitch, but maybe not quite ready to pitch yet, to talk to them about what other steps they need to take before they're ready to pitch, mm-hmm. to give them some strategic advice, some funding advice as to, you know, where they might need to go next. More than anything, we're connected to all of the presenters in this state, really closely connected to them. We know what they want, we know what they want on their stages, which is why it was interesting when I had that conversation with a bunch of presenters, and they went, oh, have people got residencies? We didn't hear about those. And that's not because the information isn't out there, that's because they're not always listening. There's the story of the people Cummins Theatre, so the previous manager at Cummins Theatre. There's a day in the life of a venue manager, right? So under the stage, it's got bump in this show, and then it's got, you know, lighting rig to be replaced and stuff. And at the bottom of the list, this is the manager's to-do list, it's like buy toilet roll. So sometimes venue managers have a very long day, and so it takes a little bit of time to get through to them, which is why, again, Showcase is really important. So our job is also to introduce concepts to presenters outside of Showcase, and we do it all year round, right? So if you've got a great idea and you want to share it with venues, we'll share it. We've got the venue network, so we can contact all the presenters and be in the inbox.
Well, you can direct, 5 minutes you after. Can help direct them to people that you can actually, these three people are really kind of in your alley, so you can be more targeted.
Absolutely. And we sort of know, so, and what was said earlier is really true, the smaller communities have got their arms around the community way more than, you know, the bigger ones in Mandurah. That's really true. But it's not true of all the big venues. We've put in Good to Go, which is online pitching forum, so that means all year round. Quality pitches are on the Showcase website, and we're extending that to have residency stuff on there as well, so that people can sort of go, because I'm not always making the decision in November what I'm going to choose for 2023, right? So the idea is that you've got more places to pitch your concept, so that people can look and say, okay, maybe we'd be interested in a residency, especially because the government has all this money. Mm-hmm. And as I said here, our policy is take the government's money. So we're taking on a new project this year, which will probably double the number of communities we're connected to, because we're connecting now to communities who don't have a venue, don't have a performing space. We're really keen to know what you've got planned. Like, and so anybody who's talked to us, we may be not as friendly as these guys, but we're pretty friendly, is to give us a call and tell us what you're trying to do, because we really know the venue network really well, and and we're really pushing hard to get more experiences on stage. That's who we are. So, and it doesn't have to be on a stage where there's a performance at the end of 3 weeks. It doesn't have to be any of that. So, and we've been working with these guys pretty tightly on trying to get more residencies and collaborations happening within our own network.
When do you finalise the pitch?
So the pitches are released in 2 weeks. We announce on the... No. So we haven't opened pitching yet. We haven't announced showcase yet. So that will be when you all join us on Facebook. You'll see the announcement, which the announcement will be next week. So, so from then on, you've got 6 weeks to put together your pitch, or talk to us about it, or say, I've got this idea. Everybody who hasn't pitched, is a chat. You don't have to do anything yet. It's just a chat. Talk to us about your idea. What do you actually want to do? So we're trying to change the models of pitching and showcase. You know, that's our thing. So I guess, you know, my question to, are we finished?
Yes.
Sorry, I also have to be somewhere else. Is, what else can we do? Like, what else, you know, a lot of you don't know who we are. A lot of you don't know, like, what else can we do to help? What else can we make residencies or collaborations happen?
I have a burning question. And it's about, again, sorry, now that keeps coming up, but they have this fantastic little town hall, which has like 2 labs in it. And yeah, we did a show there, and it was great, it was successful as far as the little community went, et cetera, et cetera, community project. Is there any thinking from Circuit West, Tech West, which I wasn't aware of, that they may come, for example, to a small venue like that and say, look, you know, if we put up this kind of infrastructure, then we can invite some inter-regional, smaller performances into these smaller towns that just get involved. So is that something that you do, or is it...
Ryan's doing a lot to influence local government spaces.
So it was announced by the Minister this morning that Circuit West is taking over Shows on the Go, which is the small town shows for the community presenters and town halls and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
Which means part of that will be taking on, whereas part of reorganising our operations and budget, we're taking on a production manager, so there will be the ability for someone from TechWest or SuperWest to come out and do that.
Good timing!
Yay!
No.
Can you plug once the Brett Artist retreat through that?
Sorry?
Can you plug the Brett Artist retreat through that? Because if you came to that retreat, that would help
as well. So once we've got all the stuff on the ground, we'll put it out there.
It'll be soon.
Yeah. So.
And it could host a residency at funded through our program.
Here
we
go.
It's like we organise these things.
I just want to make a little comment. Sorry, Ryan, to hear the top of you. I just know that Sam has to go. The question that you asked back at Commons, the question that's been asked today, and the question that Rachel asked to be over the fire, which is why is it we can do visual arts residencies but not performing arts residencies? Why is that getting funded? Because it's community-led in community context. Community aren't going to ask for performing arts until they see it and see best practices. So if you're an artist here who has done any kind of residency project that was performing arts-based, that was a best practice model, that was really successful, can you please share that project with DLGSC, share it with Circuit West so they can share it with us so we can share it with Shires. Otherwise, this stays a conversation.
As I said, the advocacy campaign that will run alongside this program will have best practice examples of what you've all done. So, but that's probably 6 months away.
Yeah.
So if anything now, please.
Arts Edge.
Yeah, we have all the Arts Edge case studies in a PDF format. We're just trying to get them onto our DLGSC website, which is a lot harder than you think.
Any other questions?
Do you have any festival stuff going at Circuit West, like connecting with festivals, regional festivals?
Who does?
It's interesting, isn't it? Yeah, we're trying to build the list at the moment to share with producers who are appropriate to the festivals list.
Yes.
So many, but they don't seem to be connected to each other at all. There seems to be a network of festival organisers. There's a few people who travel town to town and do the Woolarama, you know, and they're organisers, but outside of that, there doesn't seem to be one.
So, and there's no way that could be advocated, like for performing arts fringe events to work around festivals. I mean, I know we're talking about it, you know, but the Reds and right, so it was the start of Gavin Marie. Yeah. Julia was there, and we were there, and, you know, and I went, oh, this is really exciting, let's do more.
No, it's a very good question, and nobody's actually, you know, working directly to connect that space at the moment, and there's a lot. Like, we've got 37 festivals on our list.
How do we start?
Yeah.
We all call
for
fail.
I mean, I think the festivals do need to lead that, I think. You know, it should be their curators or whatever. They need to have an understanding of where the funding options, and they need to be supporting artists by writing support letters or whatever to apply to the department.
Yeah. But like, I mean,
because oftentimes those festivals won't have any money.
But a lot of those festivals are coming from like an entrepreneurial perspective, and they're not necessarily attached to funding bodies. So
yeah.
I would conversely argue that outreach needs to come from funders, because otherwise they're just not thinking about funding.
More than half the festivals are actually run by not-for-profits attached to the Shire, and that's they put in their 1 million hours a year. That's how Woolarama and those sorts of things happened. And they're not actually connected, you know, they're absolutely not-for-profit.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that's, I know the Big Country Festival, is it Hannah? Where's the
Music Festival.
Right, so that started with a bunch of people who just volunteered 100% of their time. So it is difficult. Yeah. So a lot of them are actually, now we've got an understanding of them, a lot of them are actually outside the zone. You know, so they are a bunch of mums and dads, you know, who in the town who think we should do this, and it grows to a giant size.
Yeah. It's 7 minutes to one, so I would still like to ask Julie, 1 minute question before you wrap up. You were saying that the key priorities for local government, obviously, in any kind of arts funding are thriving communities, resilient communities. I'd really like to know, in 1 minute, in local government speak, so that we can speak your language, how do you prove that, and what does that look like? What is a thriving community? What is a resilient community? So we can go, we know we can deliver that. I can say it in art speak and as a human speak, but how do you say it in local government speak?
I've got the answer to that.
Because that's what you want, thriving communities, resilient communities. I know I can deliver it, but what does that look like for you? So how do you prove it to your
some kind of data or something?
Yeah, like what? How do you prove that? You sit around and going,
I don't think. I don't actually think in that particular objective that data is going to be the measure. It's
so we can literally describe seeing people talk.
Yeah,
at
showing,
a
I
thing,
think
like
showing
an example
video.
Of something you've
yeah,
done.
Yeah, that's what I was going
to
say.
Will speak to someone in local government.
And also,
can imagine.
We're putting
images,
a small group discussion,
videos.
But
it's incidental. It's the fact that people will speak at a bus stop instead of any strangers. It's the fact that it's all those little things.
And then you can just describe them. I'll give quotes.
So you're happy to describe in that's
yeah.
art, that's human talk, not local government talk.
Yeah.
You're happy to have it in human talk.
If there's no more questions, I think we should finish, if that's okay. I just want to thank Ali, Sam, and Jill for coming and sharing with us. And thanks everyone.